And I want to say, if you have ever preached, and Brother Van Ness will know, an elder of his stature will know exactly what I'm talking about today. There are some times you know beyond any shadow of a doubt what you're supposed to preach. Sometimes you walk out and trust God and faith that it's right, and then there are other times he gives you signal after signal after signal. I'm not one of these preachers that I prepare three messages in advance. And I had to preach this morning, and I had what I thought I was going to preach this afternoon. And I just put a title down so my wife could send the text out today. In faith that God would take care of it. And as I sat in my office today, I don't know where my wife sat. There she is. But she didn't know what I was preaching about today. They sang a song about walking through fire, did they not? They sung a song about there's going to no more trials and no more troubles. Peace and joy forevermore. If you have your Bibles, we're going to Revelation chapter number 20. Some of you already know where I'm going now. Chapter number 20. Let's start at verse 9, just for the sake of time. It says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into what? To the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night. Forever and ever. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Everybody take a deep breath. Whew, it's all right. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. When the smoke clears. Just simply, when the smoke clears. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for one more chance to be in your house. And these musicians and singers had no idea what I would be preaching about today, but you have hand guided every single song all the way in till my message today. I know it's not by happenstance. I know it's not just by luck. I know it's not by chance. Because you order our steps when we are seeking after you and trying to follow you. God, you will lead us. And I believe you've led me today. You've led them today to this place for a very specific purpose and reason, that I might remind them one more time that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And there is a reason that we do what we do and why we live like we live and we believe what we believe. And it's not left to chance, but we make our calling and election sure as the feet we are standing on today. And I'm asking you, God, to help me to do a good job and speak into their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All across America, there is an erasing of God from every avenue of our life. From top to bottom, we find things that are taking place to where they're trying to pull God out of schools. They're trying to pull God out of families. They're trying to pull God out of courthouses. They're trying to pull God out of state houses. They're trying to pull God out of the Congress hall. They're trying to pull God out of the White House. And there's a deafening tone across America today that is trying to merge everything together that says, if you just live a good life, you just get up in the morning and you try to treat your neighbor right, you try to live ethically, if you just live a good life and believe there's a God, you're going to heaven. But all throughout all of this, even as a pastor, I was convicted as a father while studying this message on how little we really talk about heaven and hell. It's the elephant in the room. We sit at dinner. We talk about the goodness of God. We talk about the person that got healed. We talk about the new guests that are coming. We talk about the fantastic cooking, and the evidence shows that in Pastor here lately. We talk about the dinners. We talk about the birthdays, and we talk about a lot of things. When was the last time we really had a deep conversation with our children or with our spouse or with our friends about the fact there's a heaven and there's a hell? In today's society, we just go along and we get up every morning and we go to bed every night and we do what we do. But in the middle of all of that, there's a deafening silence. I know that's an oxymoron, but it's so loud it deafens us to where we don't talk about it. We pretend it doesn't exist. We just assume everybody knows, and there comes a point, and I believe today's generation is getting close to Romans chapter 1 where they don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. The reason we don't want to retain... Now, I'm not picking on the world. I'm picking on the church. If you really study, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. I think there was a reason behind that, is because he came to tell a people there is a place that's prepared for prepared people. But there also is a place that's prepared for an unprepared people. We as preachers and pastors and teachers, and I believe in the fivefold ministry from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But we don't spend a lot of time warning this generation. You know, Pastor, he's a grace preacher. He's a happy preacher. He's everybody can make it to heaven if you just find a place to repent. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Live for God. You can make it. I'm your biggest cheerleader. But in the process of being your biggest cheerleader, as a pastor, if I don't preach this message today, I'm being the biggest fool on the planet Earth. Because in the process of all of the happiness and all of the joy of a growing church, there has to be somebody that stands on the mountaintop and tells us, with the process of Jesus coming, there's also going to be a judgment day, and we're going to give an account for our soul. Movies have been written about it. It's untalked about, but I contend nearly every single one of us, in the last couple of weeks, we probably went to bed and wondered, if I didn't wake up in the morning, where will my soul spend eternity? We probably didn't roll over and grab our spouse's hand and have a discussion about it. But I contend in every single mind, there's something in the heart of every single man that longs for their creator and a pure relationship with that creator. There's a beating heartbeat that somehow throbs. And there's nothing worse than standing before a mom and dad, knowing you're not right, knowing you did it wrong, know you've got judgment coming. And I don't care what child you are, how smart you are, when you mess it up, you don't sleep peacefully at night, knowing it ain't right in here, knowing you did it wrong. And if that happens with a parent, how much more so with a God? When we stand before God and we sit here every day and we have that heart beating inside of us, I 10:10 today, it's a constant beating reminder that the only thing between you and eternity is another beat. And whether or not you have breath in those lungs, and there comes a point, we've got to double check our salvation. Do I have it right? Do I have it down in my soul? God, if you come back tomorrow, will I hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? We read in this particular passage of Scripture of a time that most of us really don't know how it all is going to take place. I can't stand up here as a pastor and tell you this is going to happen. And that's, there are some things that are clear by Scripture. But we're dealing in a time that I'm talking about right now that we haven't gotten to yet. For as a pastor, for me to say this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and I think God's not going to share that information with us. You know why? Because He created us. He knows me just like He knows you, and He knows pastor would wait till the last minute to get it right. Do we not? Anybody else human in the house today? There's a glaring thing that says, if God told us an escape route and an exact moment, we would wait. If He told you it at 10:59, Tuesday night, you know what? We'd probably wait till about a quarter till. Lord, remember me? Fixing to wrap it up, but just have a little mercy on you, old boy, would you? Because that's how we operate. I look back over my life and my preaching, and you wouldn't think so, but I preached a lot of funerals, some of them for your families. And you stand up there. Brother Van Ness can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't put them in heaven and I don't put them in hell because it ain't my place. I talk about the good things. I talk about how good heaven is. But when was the last time, even at a funeral, I even referenced that there was a hell? And I contend it's probably not the best place. But for the sake of everybody sitting in the room, it is. But we talk about heaven. And I'm standing there preaching the message, talking about all the good things that God's done and the memories and how this season will pass and things will get better over time. Some of you have heard me preach these funerals. And everybody in the room, it's like the elephant in the room. They know who's in the box. And they know the life they live. And we in our own mind sit there thinking, Pastor, you can paint it however you want to. But if we really go by the Word of God, we all know there ain't a chance they're making it in. But we don't talk about it. We don't ever spend any time to really measure in our own lives. When we stand before God, there's only one person you're going to be measured by. That's you and Jesus Christ. His Word and your life. We don't get mulligans in this thing called life. They can get them little shock things and make me nervous. Get them shock things and boom. You know the difference between you coming back or not? It's whether or not He says, okay, I'll give him another shot. That's the difference. It's not the battery power. It's not where they place the probes. It's purely the mercy of Jesus Christ on your life. And the sooner we recognize that, we must somehow stop and see. It doesn't matter. Some things in this world that we put all this emphasis on. You know what? It doesn't matter if my child is a superstar. It doesn't matter if everybody knows their name. It doesn't matter if they made a lot of money. It doesn't matter what their life really was. All it matters, are they ready to meet Jesus? Jesus. That's all that matters. There comes a point in time when you boil it all down. It's really when the smoke settles. Where on which side of eternity do you stand on? That's really the difference in everything in our lives. But my question for us today, how often do we talk about it? What time do we spend on it? I was studying and I looked up a particular story that was in the Los Angeles Times. Happened in California. It was Jan and John. It was in 2017 when they had the huge forest fires that came over. In the process of that fire, Jan and John, she was 69 and he was 70, and he was a painter. He had very expensive paintings in his house that he had painted. They had built their, this is ironic, but they had built their house to look like a boat. When I tell you the rest of the story, it really will make sense. Maybe this all happened so I could use it in my message today. I don't know. Sorry for them if that's the case. But I believe God does those things. But it was 12:51, I believe it was, in the morning. It was dark outside. They looked out the window and they'd heard about the coming fire, but they didn't realize it was that close to their house, and the wind shifted directions, and they thought they were in a safe zone. In the process of this, they looked out their window and there was just a glow coming up the hill. They recognized that's the way we have to get out of here. We got a problem. This is serious business. Before long, Jan picked up the phone and she called 911, and the operator said, we can't get to you. Your location, when I pin it on the map, we can't get there. Jan said, well, what are we supposed to do in this thing? She said, whatever you can do, you just have to get to a place that the fire can't get to you. So Jan and John looked at each other and he said, well, there's a pool next door at the neighbor's, and that's the only place we could truly go is get into the pool. And she said, well, we can't stay under the water the whole time. So she began to ask the 911, as you can imagine the frantic cries as they're trying to discuss this whole thing. What are we going to do in this process? She wouldn't give them the advice. She just said, go someplace safe. What she was trying to say was, I'm not liable. Here's the problem. That's the same answer the church gives this world. We don't want to be responsible, so we just pretend it doesn't exist. But there comes a point we as individuals have to man up in the church and say, you know what? It may not be politically correct anymore, but there's a heaven and there's a hell. And the fact is, how you live your life and whether you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you got the blood applied and you got that spirit inside of you to quicken this mortal body, to be changed to be like him, is going to make the difference of whether you leave this world to be changed to be like him. So in the process of this whole thing playing out, finally they hung up the phone and they took the cell phone and they took off over to the swimming pool, and they could see it coming, and she said, honey, do we get in now? He said, that pool is freezing cold and there's nobody coming. We hope they are, but the reality is they're probably not. So the longer we can wait before we actually get in the pool, the better off we are. So they watched as it came up over the hill and it took the neighbor's house. Then it started on the backside of their house. And now it was coming across the yard. They said, we watched as a tree next to the pool erupted into flames. Finally, it got to that moment. John looked at Jan and he said, get in the water. It's our last second. This was the thing that caught my attention. He said they watched there as they got into the water. Only a moment later, the cell phone melted. Her shoes changed sizes. And they took their, he took his shirt, his t-shirt, and they wrapped it around their nose to try to keep the embers from going in their nose from the hot ash. And they would go underwater and they'd come back up and breathe for a minute and go back underwater and come up and breathe. And then it dawned on them, how long is this going to last? They said in the interview after this all took place, John looked at his wife, and in a sense that they were looking and thinking the same thing. How long does it really take a house to burn? Ended up being in the water for 6 hours. Finally, after 6 hours, John recognized it was probably just getting close enough to where he could maybe get out and be able to, by touching the concrete, he could feel that it was touchable, be able to actually get out on it now. He said he took her shoes that were all deformed and tried to put them on his feet. He walked up over the hill. The house was gone. The shed was gone. The cars were rims and molten metal just kind of all warped together. You see, you and I must recognize, whether we want it or not, there comes a point that we must realize the only thing between us and hell. I began to study when I was studying for this message in my office tonight. And I said, you know what? What is the only thing that can stop fire from getting you? Number one is water. Number two is the dirt. The only way you're going to stop it is to be buried in the water. There's only one way you're going to protect yourself. And what this preacher is preaching about is evangelistically and as straight as I can preach it to you today. There's only one thing that's going to protect you when this thing wraps up and you stand before God. Is, have I been buried in the name of Jesus Christ? Do I have the blood applied to my life? And you know what? I'm going to pop out of that grave just as real as I'm standing here today. And I'm going to be changed. And you know what? He's going to be waiting on me to get there. You know why? Because I made my preparation and I got it right. There comes a point in every single life that we must recognize, according to the book of Romans, where the Paul began to write in that book of Romans, and he began to describe that because of the sin of one man, sin came on the world. But there was another man. There was another man that came. That was the man, Christ Jesus. That was the flesh sacrifice. That was the Lamb of Lambs. That was the supreme sacrifice. And he hung between heaven and he hung between earth. And you know what he was saying? Is, if you want to get under the dirt, you got to get buried through me. If you want my blood, you got to access it through my atonement. And I'm hanging here as a propitiation for your sin. When we look at that, we say, well, it's just a story about Jesus. I've heard that from the beginning of, since a little bitty child. But really, do you think God would let me go to hell if he really let me ask you this? If he's a just God. If he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said there was going to be a day coming. Let me ask you, what if he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Let me ask you, what if he destroyed the world in Noah's day? There came a point, I'm sure, that God probably and Noah probably said, God, are you sure we have to close the door? Can't we just get a few more? And you've got to understand, once God's word is set, it can't be changed. And God doesn't change it, because he said, I'm God and I change not. And it doesn't matter who we are, how influential we are, and how much of a connection we've got with God. When he said, except a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter in. There comes a point that we must recognize. According to Acts chapter 2, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? For the remission of sins. You know what that means? That means I'm buried. That means I'm put down in a safe place. I'm separated. And the only way I can escape that and get out of that way is if I choose to leave the presence of God. But as long as I'm under his will, I'm under his protection. Notice the Bible talked about the tormentor in our reading. He said there was a point that, and this is all in times, but he said there was a point he was released to deceive. He was released to torment. But when the smoke cleared, the Bible said the tormentor was cast into the lake of fire. When you read the back of the book, it still says, if you got the blood of Jesus, you win. You know what? When we are connected with the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, it doesn't matter what this world thinks, what this world says. There's one thing that stays constant, and that's the word of God. And I read the back of the book, and we win. There comes a time that we, as every single person, has to really boil it down. Am I saved or am I not? And I know in today's world this is not popular preaching. And I'm taking a huge risk by preaching what I'm preaching today. But the reality is, I'm you doing you a disservice if I don't stand up and hold the banner high and say, you know what? Jesus is coming. If I don't stand up and tell your children, Jesus is coming. If I don't stand up and tell your grandkids, Jesus is coming. But Pastor is standing up today one more time to let you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I don't know when and I don't know how, but he's coming for me, or I'm going to him, and you are too. And it behooves us to be ready. It makes this world nervous, and I've seen it in some of your eyes when I stand upstairs and I pray, Jesus, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. I've watched the fear of some as they say, oh, Pastor, don't pray that tonight. Maybe tomorrow. Let's have an altar service first. Then we'll pray that together. And as humorous as that is, it's really not. The fact is, it behooves us to be ready at all times. Make your calling and election sure. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Pastor came. I'm sorry, honey. I don't want to put a somber thing over your birthday. The reality is, it's because of another birthday we can even say we have the hope of being saved. It was because of a birth and a death. And the Bible says we have an atonement for our sins through, notice this, through his and by his blood. You want to know why we baptize in Jesus' name? There's a distinct difference why we baptize in Jesus' name, because that's the atonement for our sins. You won't find anybody in the scripture that's ever baptized any other way but in the name of Jesus Christ. Try if you may. And if you find it, come show me, because I've been looking all my life and it ain't there. The reality is, we've got to do it by the book. When you really boil it down and you look at it deep enough, you've got to understand there's one way to get to heaven. And I want everybody to go, and everybody should go, and everybody can go. But the Bible says there's a narrow way and there's a broad way. And when we start saying everybody can go, we're dangerously going down the broad way. And I'm thankful. The reality is it costs us something to preach things like this. Simply because they point at pastor and say, well, he's one of those that he don't believe everybody's going to heaven. I wish everybody were going to heaven. And everybody can go to heaven. It doesn't matter what's over the door. It matters whether you've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. You've repented of your sins and you're doing your best to walk with God. That's all that matters. There comes a point that everybody can go. But the reality is, the brutal fact is not everybody is going to go. Does not the scripture say, but Lord, we cast out devils. We saw the miraculous. How is it that we don't have a place? How can that, for real? Comes a point that the recognition comes that says, you mean I walked under the anointing? I tapped into just enough of it to see the miraculous. You got to understand, at the name of Jesus, He honors that name. He honors that name. And people do get healed. People do receive the Holy Ghost. Come on now. We think we got this little corner on salvation only right here. We better recognize. There's people been saved in the backwoods, didn't have a Bible, didn't have a preacher, and they start praying and God fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I still believe God. And when we stop believing that, you know what? All of a sudden we're starting to determine who can be saved and who can't. But my Bible says, whosoever will come unto me. One more time. Pastor's going to beckon to your heart. And your spirit, one more time today, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you sure? Let's all stand. I'm coming to a close. We're going to get out a little bit early. Is that all right? It's a song we used to sing as a kid. I know you probably don't know it, so I ain't even going to ask you to try to sing it. Simply said, are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for judgment day? I don't know the rest, so I'm sorry. But what clicked in my mind is what part of the song I did remember. It wasn't the rest of the song that I remember. I'll never forget, as a little boy, I was a stubborn one. Some of you probably like me too. My brother got the Holy Ghost at 8. I wanted him to prove it to me. Just because mama said it, that ain't good enough for me. I want to know it from the Word of God. I had one preacher got up on. One brother in the church got up under him. He said, you just got to worship. You want the Holy Ghost, son. You got to worship. And he started jumping up and down, picking me up with him. He wanted me to have the Holy Ghost so bad. The reality was, walked out of the church one night at Walkerton United Pentecostal Church, across from Cablin's Hardware Store. Big old Presbyterian steps as a Pentecostal church. It used to be a Presbyterian church. That big old stained glass windows. Big long steps, real wide, that went all the way down. We were having revival that night. I walked out of the church. I looked into the sky. I saw the lightning going from the east to the west. Something in my heart just went, I ain't ready. That makes me nervous, Lord. Are you coming back? If that wasn't enough, I got home from church that night. If you know my Grandma Smith, you'll understand this. phone rang. My mom knew what she wanted. She set me up. She brought that phone, the cordless phone, to my bedroom. She said, Brent, the phone's for you. I picked up the phone. She said, Brent, this is Grandma. I said, yeah, Grandma. She said, did you look at the sky? I had a grandma that had enough courage to look her grandson in the face and say, son, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And I'll pick up the phone and I'll call you and say, son, did you look at the sky? And you know what? It scared me from my head to my toes. You know what? But I'm thankful there was somebody that had enough courage in my life to say, Jesus is coming. Be ready, son. Jesus is coming. Be ready, son. Jesus is coming. And when I was 16 years old, at a little church in La Paz, Indiana, and I was standing there on that front row in the middle of song service, I got past me and I got into him. And my hand was lifted up and tears were streaming down my face. And I forgot about everything that was going on around me. And you know what? I began to get lost in the presence of God. And God filled me with a baptism of the Holy Ghost at 16 years old. And here I stand today as a living testament that says Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And if I didn't believe it from my head to my toe, I wouldn't get up every morning and grab my Bible. I wouldn't go to two churches on a Sunday and preach my guts out. If I didn't believe it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Because God's word doesn't change. And there comes a point we have to make sure we're ready. So in closing today, my question simply for you is, when the smoke clears, when they close the lid, the Spirit's already gone. Doesn't matter what your kids say. Don't matter what my wife says. Furthermore, don't matter what the preacher says. That message ain't for the one in the box at that point. It's for everybody else. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If it's appropriate, grab your neighbor's hand. If you want to come to this altar, it's okay. These altars are open if you want to come pray. I wonder if it's appropriate. Grab your neighbor's hand. I wonder if we can pray together one more time. God, I'm asking you to check my heart and my spirit, my mind, my motives, everything about me, God. How long has it been since I've had a hard conversation with you, God, to say, you know what? I don't know if it is all right. But I'm standing here today before you, knowing in my mind and my heart, if you come back, God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But I want us to be able to begin to repent all over this place. If you got something, you don't have to name it out loud, but God, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to purge me of me. I'm asking you to put me back under your mercy and grace. God, it's been too long. I've let me be bigger than you, God. I've allowed my motives and my thoughts and my agendas to become my God. But I need to push me back down and allow you to be raised up. I ask you one more time, God, to check me in my spirit. Purge me of me. Create a clean heart in me, oh God. Renew in me a right spirit. They've never been baptized in Jesus' name. God, I'm asking you one more time. God, let them know that don't wait till tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. There's a water. There's a place to be baptized. God, if there's anything, God, that they can do on their own, that's the one thing they can do. And that's make a decision to be buried, to be protected from the coming things. Be buried in your blood, washed in your name, and leave their burdens behind. Take up their cross and follow you. And there are those here today, God, that have walked with you, lived for you. They've been faithful through the thick, faithful through the thin. I'm asking you to reassure them in their spirit one more time, God. Let a fresh breath of the Holy Ghost sweep through that vessel, God. Let them feel that tingling up and down their spine one more time, God, to let them know if you said it, it's going to happen. You said, I go away to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. But we have a promise, and you stick to your promises. Can we lift our hands all across this place and praise and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us enough, God, to tell us. Thank you for loving us enough to die for us. Thank you, God, for reaching down on a Sunday afternoon, God, when we could have been somewhere sitting on a couch watching TV, doing things that the world does and the things that we do outside these walls, God. But we took enough time to visit your presence, God, and you spoke into our lives. Something that quickens in our spirit, that provokes us to be more like you, that challenges us one more time. It says, I'm a child of God. It's more required of a child than somebody on the outside. If I'm a child of God, if I'm doing the will of God, I've got to warn people that there is a day coming. And if you talk that much about hell, God, let me work to this harvest as hard as I've ever worked. Let me be willing to get my fingers dirty. Let me be willing to give of my time and energy and finances and whatever it takes. To pull on one more soul, God, to let them know Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Use us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name.